podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Thank you to our choir for that song. Beautiful song, but what a level of commitment to actually mean it when you sing it and to actually pray it as a prayer that you intend to carry forth in your life, to give everything to the Lord. And we understand that doing that is a battle, right? As soon as we attempt to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ and to live for Him, we come square face to face with the enemy, who doesn't want us to progress in our Christian walk, who doesn't want us to commit ourselves more fully to Jesus. He would rather we fall on our faces and fail in our Christian life. So Paul is in prison and he's writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he recognizes that there are people in that congregation who are facing all sorts of trials and temptations and difficulties. And so he starts to think in his mind, how can I get across to these people the need to stand their ground in their Christian walk? How can I get these people to understand that they need to be able to stand against the enemy and his schemes? And then, out of the corner of his eye, at least this is the way I understand it, he sees a centurion guarding his prison cell. And the glimmer of his armor catches Paul's imagination. And then the Holy Spirit begins to work. And he says, that's it. That's it. The armor of God, the full armor of God. And the Holy Spirit led him to write this passage we will look at this morning. So if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. And we're going to read through verse 20 this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 10, in your pew Bible, that is on page 830. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Heavenly Father, bring us to your word this morning with open hearts. Father, help us, Lord, to understand what it means to be equipped as a soldier for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you may have noticed something familiar in this passage that we looked at in the passage last week. Last week we saw that Paul was writing to a young pastor he was mentoring by the name of Timothy. And he said these words, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we see here at the beginning of our passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." So there's a recurring theme when Paul talks about us being soldiers in God's army and being spiritual warriors, where he says, you need to be strong. that the key to victory in spiritual warfare is to be strong. Now, where does that strength come from? Where do we get it? Well, I can tell you this morning that you and I, in our own strength, can never stand up against the enemy, Satan. He is stronger than we are. He will defeat us every time if we stand before him in our own strength. And he is very organized in his efforts to destroy us. Look at verse 12. It says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but our struggle is against rulers, authorities, powers, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a spiritual war that's taking place. And so we cannot stand in our own flesh and try to win the battle over Satan. He's stronger than we are, and he's more organized than we are. There are unseen powers that surround us that we don't have any idea about. And Satan launches these attacks on us as believers, even to the extent that he launches thoughts into our minds and launches this wicked culture at our homes and at our families. And we are standing against it all day long. So don't try to take him on in your own strength, right? Don't think that you can take on Satan with your power, with your strength, by shaking your fist at him somehow. This isn't about you anyway. It's about God. And Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit who lives in us is more powerful than Satan. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And in order to stand, we don't put faith in our own strength, but we put faith in the Lord. We are strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And the passage of Scripture tells us that we need to stand. Did you see that in verse 13? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. And then the first word of the next verse in the NIV is, stand firm then. So what Paul is trying to do is to establish with us as followers of Jesus Christ the capacity to stand up against the enemy. He's not saying that we even need to advance or make progress on the enemy. He's just saying you need to be defended so that you can simply stand against the enemy and not fall on your face. Now, just about every sport that we play requires some sort of a stance. Right? It's a balanced athletic stance. When you play football, you have to stand in such a way that when the opposing team tries to hit you and knock you over, that you can keep your balance. Even when you play golf, there's a stance, a balanced stance that you need in order to hit the ball squarely. No matter what sport it is that you play, you have to have the proper stance. I can remember when I was in Little League, hearing my coach yell from time to time things like, hey, stand up, or hey, get your hands out of your pockets, or hey, quit leaning on your knees, or hey, where are you going? See, those sorts of things I remember hearing, that he wanted us to stand in the field and be prepared because the ball might come flying at us at any moment. And if your back is turned and you're watching the game that's going on behind you, you might get hit in the head. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, through Paul, is saying, look, you need to stand up against the enemy. You need to be prepared for battle. And the way to do that is to be properly armed and equipped. So God issues spiritual armor for his soldiers to stand up against the schemes of Satan. Did you see that in the passage, that Satan actually has schemes? Or in some translation, he has wiles, things that he is trying to develop. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That Satan has a strategy to make you fall. And God says, look, if you will just simply put on this armor, you will be able to stand. Now, I understand, and you understand, that we could probably preach a sermon on each one of these pieces of armor. You've probably been through some sort of a sermon series like that before. Because these are some very broad, general truths, right? Truth and faith and righteousness and the Word of God and the gospel. We could go on and on and on about these things, but this morning we're just going to take a survey. And it begins with the belt of truth. And the truth here is that God's truth holds up against Satan's lies. That's what the belt of truth is all about. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, when he lies, speaking of the enemy, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Know this above all things, that our enemy Satan is a liar. And that one of the ways that he would like for us to fall in our Christian life is by getting us to believe in lies. In fact, at the very beginning in the garden, he said to Adam and Eve, surely if you eat the fruit, you will not die. After God had specifically told them that they would if they ate of the fruit. Satan is a liar. Now a belt, of course, is centrally located in the armor. It holds things together, right? We know a belt holds your pants up, right? But it also can hold the breastplate in. And it's centrally located. People, when they the soldiers, when they would run, they would take their long robe and they would tuck it into their belt so that they would be able to move faster. The belt is the place where you store the sheath for the sword. It's sort of the central part of your armor. Just like that, truth is central to the life of the believer in Jesus Christ. If we don't stand in the truth, we will fall for everything. There's nothing more embarrassing on the battlefield than for your garment to fall to your ankles. Satan would love for our faith to fall to our ankles. Now, what do Satan's lies sound like? I bet if you took some time to think about it, you would recognize that Satan's been lying to you. He says things like, you know, this God stuff is ridiculous. You know, you're going to wake up early on a Sunday morning and drive through what looks like sheets of ice to get to church. Do you really believe this stuff? Is it really that important to you? Satan says things like, you're missing out on some really good stuff by being a Christian. You know, by following after Christ, you've made some sacrifices, some things that could really look cool, that really look like a lot of fun. God wants you to be happy, but so you should just do whatever makes you happy. Those are the kind of lies that Satan plants in our path. He says, look, there are no consequences for your actions. There's no heaven or hell. That's all just made up. It's ancient stuff found in an old book. You don't believe that there's a hell and a heaven and a Satan and a God, do you? And so Satan lies to us. And if we fall for these lies, our Christian walk will be destroyed. We need to strap on the belt of truth as the center of our lives. Let's move on to the second piece of armor, the breastplate of righteousness. Christ's righteousness repels Satan's accusations. You see, the breastplate is a piece of armor that protects the heart. I know in that picture, it looks like he's not wearing a shirt and he's got really great abs, but that's not what's going on there. That is the breastplate upon the soldier. And the breastplate protects your organs, the where the life is, where the blood flows. The heart is the place where biblically we make our decisions, where our opinions and our values are formed as followers of God. Spiritually speaking, Satan is throwing all sorts of accusations at believers, trying to dishearten us, trying to hit us where it counts. Things like, you know, God could never love you. God could never love you. Your sin is much too great. Or you'll never become like Christ, so just give up. You know, just be an average Christian. Why push it? Why try to really be committed? Just live the life everybody else is living. Or you're not really saved. You're not. If you were saved, you wouldn't sin so often. God doesn't hear your prayers. God doesn't hear your prayers. He doesn't care about you. And so Satan throws these accusations at us. And when he accuses, there is a breastplate of righteousness that can repel those accusations. The breastplate of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The breastplate that will help to keep us from being disheartened. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we just need to look Satan in the eye and say, you know what? God loves me. I know because of Jesus Christ. Yes, my sin is great. And yes, I fall to sin. But God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has given me as a gift the righteousness of Jesus Christ to stand in. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been applied to me when I put my faith in Him. And so keep accusing me. Keep lying against me. But it's not leaving a mark, because I believe in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Moving on to the shoes of gospel readiness. The passage here says, feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So another way of saying this is that God's good news digs in against Satan's attacks. Whenever we face difficulties and trials in our lives, we are at risk of losing our spiritual footing and slipping and sliding. And maybe if you try to walk out on your deck this morning, you know what I'm talking about. Soldiers in Paul's day, they wore these heavy leather sandals that had straps that went all the way up their calves to keep them in place. And then the soles of these sandals had spikes on them, sort of like athletic cleats, to keep them standing in place when they faced the enemy. And we need spiritual shoes in our time of difficulty so that we can take our stand and not slip and fall. The good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will keep us from slipping. But Satan would love for us to forget the good news of Jesus Christ by surrounding us with bad news that comes from the world. So when trouble comes your way, you begin to slip, you begin to feel anxious, you begin to fall into despair in your life, you begin to fear for your life. It's at those times that you need these gospel shoes. The gospel, the good news, reminds you that you have a God who loves you. The good news of Jesus Christ reminds you that you have a Savior who has forgiven you of your sins. The fact that Jesus died on the cross tells you that your Savior is victorious, that He is at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, that you will spend eternity with Him, and that good news will bring you peace and keep you from slipping into anxiety and despair. If you truly believe the gospel, it will hold you in place, so that you will not slip and fall. Next piece of armor is the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Faith in God extinguishes Satan's doubts. Now, Paul here in this passage says that the enemy, Satan, would like to aim firing or flaming arrows at us, but that this shield of faith will extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. What is the opposite of faith? Well, it's doubt. And so Satan would love to fire doubts at us each and every day of our life to keep us in check. You know, the shield that was used by soldiers in Paul's day was not like a little circle shield, you know, looks like a garbage can lid or something like that. We're talking about something as big as a car hood, right? That the soldiers would put in front of them, and that they could stand shoulder to shoulder, and everybody would put their shield out and kneel behind it, and it would provide them with protection from the enemy's flaming projectiles. They used to take their arrows, and they would wrap them with cloth and then dip them in pitch and then light them on fire and shoot them at the enemy. And not only did you have to look out that the arrow didn't hit you, you had to also look out that it didn't catch things on fire around you. And so it's necessary for the warrior to have a shield. And spiritually speaking, you need that shield, a shield of faith when Satan starts hurling doubts at you. Because Satan will. Maybe you've heard some of these doubts before. Now, you can't trust a God that you can't see. You've never seen God. How can you believe in Him? Or even if there is a God, He obviously is out to get you. I mean, look what's going on in your life. How can He be a good God if He's doing these things? And then Satan will fire missiles of discontentment and envy and suspicion and pride and distrust into our lives and cause us to doubt who God is and doubt that God loves us and God is good. So you better be prepared, because it takes faith to withstand these types of doubts. Paul was being transported to Rome at one time in his life when the ship that he was on got in trouble and began to sink. And Paul prayed and received comfort from the Lord. And this is what he reported to the men on the ship with him. In Acts 27:25, he says, "Keep your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me." See, that's faith. That's faith. In spite of the circumstances, in spite of the ship that is sinking, in spite of the fact that everybody's panicking around me, in spite of the fact that I'm filled with doubts about my safety and the future, I should be able to say, I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. That's the shield of faith that extinguishes the arrows of Satan's doubts. The helmet of salvation is the next piece of this armor. The helmet of salvation and this eternal salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is able to dull Satan's threats against us. You know, helmets can save your life. That's why we wear them. When we ride motorcycles or bicycles or skateboards or whenever you wear a helmet, there's a reason for that, because you're trying to protect, you know, the little brains that you have left. This is a very vulnerable area of our body. Our head is not designed to take major impact. So soldiers wear helmets to protect their heads. And spiritually speaking, it's important for us to wear the helmet of salvation to protect against all of these threats of Satan. Satan tries to get into your mind and to distort your thinking and to get you to turn away from God. But we have a weapon against Satan's threats. We have the promise of eternal life. In John 3:16, it says that we shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a part of our salvation. I heard Darshan talking about that this morning. She said, yeah, she was saved 47 years ago. What a wonderful thing. But she says, you know, I was saved this morning too. And what she means is that we are continuously being saved every day by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, there is a day yet future when we will be saved, glorified for all eternity. And so I believe that the helmet of salvation that we place over our head should seep into our mind the understanding that we have an eternity that has been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ to live with Him. And so when Satan threatens you, put on the helmet of salvation. He will try to threaten you with personal harm, with persecution. You know, when I watch those Christians on some of the ISIS videos that have come out, they seem so calm and peaceful when they're about to be brutally murdered and martyred for their faith. So many of them seem so peaceful, so reserved. It's like they've already made the decision in their mind that I'm going to die for my faith, and I refuse to reject the Lord Jesus Christ in favor of any other, so I am ready. I am ready. They have on the helmet of salvation. They know that they will soon be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the helmet of salvation will be replaced with a crown of glory in just moments. So when Satan attacks with his threats and his mind games and the evil thoughts, the helmet of salvation protects you from harm. Next is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, God's word deflects Satan's deceit. Now, this word for sword used here doesn't refer to one of those big broad swords that you see, in the medieval times where a knight would be knighted with this huge long sword. But instead, this sword that's found in this passage of Scripture is a smaller double-bladed sword that the centurion would keep in a sheath attached to his belt. If you've ever watched a sword fight in a movie, you know that a sword is both a defensive and an offensive weapon. It's not simply an offensive weapon to thrust, but it can also be used to deflect blows from the enemy. And the sword here is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That this Word of God is powerful and sharp and strong to be able to discern what's going on in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds. And so Satan will thrust his sword of deception at us. And he would love for us to believe his lies and to fall for his schemes. But we need to know the Word of God, because the Word of God in our lives can deflect those blows. And next week we're going to look at how Jesus defeated Satan when we look at the strategy of spiritual warfare. But recognize this, that Jesus was an expert in wielding the sword of the Spirit. That Satan tries to twist the Scriptures and use the Scriptures to lie to Jesus, but Jesus stands his ground, pulls out the sword of the Spirit, and deflects those blows time and time again by saying, "Don't you know, Satan, that it is written? Don't you know, Satan, what God says in his word? I hear your lies, I hear your deception and your deceit, I hear what you're trying to pull over on me, but I know the word of God. And I know what he has said. And I understand who he is from his word." So in order to use the word of the Spirit, you need to hold it, to wield it. You need it to be ready to read the word, to study the word, to memorize the word, to meditate on the word. That way you'll be able to draw the sword whenever you need it. It's scary that Christians today spend so little time in the word of God. Sure, there are a bunch of Christian books that we can purchase and Christian novels and learn a lot from these things, but there's great value in just spending time in the Word of God. And one of the greatest values in spending time in the Word of God is that it is a defense against the deceit of the enemy. We need to have the sword of Spirit at the ready. There's one more piece of armor here that's not typically talked about as a piece of armor, but it's prayer. In verse 18, it says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." Pray. Prayer connects us with the commander-in-chief. They didn't have walkie-talkie radios in Paul's day. See, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have any connection to the commander. But if they did, I'm sure that he would have included prayer in the armor, because prayer is our connection to God. It is a connection that we keep throughout our lives. It's the ability to speak directly with the commander-in-chief and let him know where we are on the battlefield, let him know what all of our needs are, and then to praise his name and to say, "Lord, what do I need to do?" Not to pray against Satan. I think sometimes when we talk about spiritual warfare and Satan, people say, "Well, we need to have these carefully crafted prayers where we call Satan out. Satan, I bind you in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." But we really don't see those types of prayers encouraged for us in the Word of God. In fact, the only one that we're supposed to pray to, according to the Word of God, is God the Father himself through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't pray to Satan. We don't talk directly to Satan. Our strength is in the Lord. We go to him and say, "Lord, this bully is bullying me again. You take care of him. As I put on this armor, Lord, you deflect his blows. Give me the strength that I need." To pray to the Lord that he will give us the strength to stand and that our faith in the hour of need will not fail. To stand upon the victory that Jesus Christ has already won. Now, Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. In other words, you don't just run out with a sword and no breastplate or helmet. You know, we need the full armor of God. We need to wear it all. You recognize that you will face Satan's schemes, and perhaps you are facing them in your life right now, that he is actively trying to keep you down, to keep you in check, and he will use everything at his disposal to do it. That the devil has the world and your own flesh to help him in this process. He has all of this power in this world to be able to lie to us and to present us with doubts and accusations. And so sometimes it seems impossible for us to stand against the temptations that come into our life, the trials that we experience, to stand up and to continue to believe. But here the Holy Spirit says to us in this passage of Scripture, when Satan attacks you, you must stand. Stand centered in the truth, clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ, standing firm in the gospel of Jesus Christ, shielded by strong faith in him and his promises, your mind protected by the promise of eternal salvation, the word of God drawn and ready to deflect the enemy's schemes, and constant communication with the commander in chief in prayer. That if we will put on the armor that God has given to us, and if we will stay in connection with him in prayer, that we will stand against the forces of the enemy. Now, how do I know this? How do I know this? It's because this battle has already been won. That when Jesus was on the cross and those nails were driven through his hands and his feet, and when he was raised on that cross, bleeding, and when he gave his life and said, "It is finished," that at that moment, he secured the victory over Satan and Satan's power. And there's coming a day when that will be evident to all. But for now, brothers and sisters, we continue to stand, armed with whatever God has given to us to be able to stand. Let's pray. Let's pray for one another that we will stand. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning to be reminded of all of the tools that you have placed in our arsenal as followers of you by which we can stand against the enemy. Father, I pray that we've not become so blinded to the enemy that we don't even recognize his lies anymore. Father, I pray that we've not become so defeated in our battle with the enemy that we just continuously turn over our lives to him and fall to the same temptations over and over and over again. Father, I pray that you will give us the ability, the power, the strength that comes from you to stand and to experience victory today and for all eternity. Lord, help us to stand in the armor that you have supplied for us. Father, may we be people of your word, people of truth, people of faith, people who rest in your righteousness, people who are fully convinced and trust in you, people who look forward to eternal life with you. And therefore, whatever the enemy might bring, may we stand true and strong and see his schemes for what they are. And Father, may your power be our strength. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.